children, second through sixth, can follow Miss Renee. All the old people can stand here with me. You guys are old, aren't you? How about this? How about Christmas Eve? That's the 24th, right? And that's Sunday after next? How about you give your testimony Christmas Eve morning here at church, and then I'll preach.
About a German Christmas?
Huh?
About a German Christmas?
Well, as long as I get to preach. I don't have to preach. Yeah, but we'll hear that testimony Christmas Eve morning. I think that'd go right along with what I'm going to preach on Christmas Eve.
Do you want my children to sing after church today, at the end of church, or do you want to next Sunday morning?
It's up to you.
We'll do it next Sunday morning.
Okay. All right. Everybody got a sword today? Well, you're a quiet bunch this morning. Did you up late last night or what? How many feel good? Wave at me if you feel good this morning. Yeah, well, that's all right. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nita Grubbs passed away Friday night, and her funeral will be Monday. And she said she'd give you directions if you need directions. Also, we need to really remember our good friend and longtime church member, Miss Jerry Nicely. She's been having chest pains, and they're not sure exactly what's going on, but they first said they ruled out heart, and then they said probably it is her heart, and she's either had a heart attack or likely to have one. So she's really battling with chest pains, and so we need to remember her in our prayers. Good to see Judy and different ones that's been sick, and Sheila and different ones that's been out and working and not being able to be to church. Isn't it good to come to the house of the Lord on the Sabbath? I don't know what people do that don't go to the house of the Lord on the Sabbath and worship and learn of the Lord. Let's go back to Luke's gospel. And we're talking about the price of Christmas. And I had probably a little more than I could get through today. So we're going to go back and visit Luke. And Christmas Eve morning, next Sunday, we'll have our... talk to you about Mary and Joseph on Christmas Eve morning and some things. You know, they were just a young couple. We think of them as somebody that was just holy and super Christians and all, but he was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Mary was a homemaker. She was a young homemaker, and so we want to look at those Christmas Eve and got some very humorous stuff and just some stuff I want to share with you about that couple. But today I want to go back because part of the Christmas story comes in as we're looking at the birth. And I didn't want to leave out this year Elizabeth and Zacharias because, you know, they were a part of that. In fact, Mary, you remember, went and talked to Elizabeth, the young Mary, confided in Elizabeth for wisdom and counsel, even after she had had an angelic visit. So there's a lot of things she didn't know and all. But I thank God for Zacharias and Elizabeth and what God did through them. And the Christmas story, what's exciting is, the Christmas story, if it had only been about a young teenage couple, then you know, we thought, well, maybe just this gospel and when God bursts something through individuals, it's only through young people. But how many knows, it, as long as you're breathing, God has got something for you to do and something He wants you to birth through you. Maybe it's a program, or maybe it's just birthing Jesus Christ and making Him real to individuals every day in your life. How many knows that you don't get too old to serve Jesus Christ? How many knows you don't get too old to stress out? Haley was ministering a while ago, and my wife said, "This is a good message for you today." She thinks I stress. And I do stress sometimes, but how many knows we're going to have a stress-free Christmas? Remember what we talked about? Stress-free Christmas this year. Because we're going to give what we can afford, and we're going to enjoy what we get and enjoy what we don't get. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
But in Luke's gospel, he talks about buzz saws and beavers. Is somebody cutting wood on our property? No? Okay. Huh? I mean, okay. Luke, the first chapter, and we talked about, in fact, I want to revisit something. Remember last week we talked about our background, our lineage, where we come from, and some of us having a little color in our backgrounds, you know, maybe having people that had a kind of a colorful past and thinking, can God really use us to do great things because of where we've come from and who we're associated with? And how many knows the answer is yes. In fact, he gives us a little sneak peek into their background, into Zacharias and Elizabeth's background, when he says in verse 5 in Luke 1, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So it's sort of like a background check, if you will, a sneak peek into the background check of this couple. And how many knows he knows all about your background? The good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows all about your background. And the good news is he's still willing to use you and me, regardless of where we've come from and what we have in our past. Turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter. And Matthew, you know, he gives really a clear picture of who came from who and all this. And he starts off and he's saying, what he's doing is taking us back through three different 14 generations and bringing us up to Christ in his life. But along the way, he pauses and he gives us an insight into a few of these. And you would think where he was going to pause would be a positive or something that's really, we'd think of it as a positive note, but he really doesn't. He pauses kind of on what we might say was a little shaky background or things are going on that's not just really on a positive note. Sometimes we think, you know, we need to think positive, and I believe we ought to think positive, but here's what I believe, that sometimes when we look at the negative, and that's the things that go wrong in our life, it helps us to focus on that so we can be better. Just like Zacharias and Elizabeth. You know, I've been just meditating on their life and on their story. And I thought, you know, we all think this is a wonderful experience that this older couple, doesn't say how old they are, but let's say they're in their 70s, 80s, somewhere in there. It said they're well advanced in years. And by the way, guys, you can read this and tell that Zacharias was a great husband. Because he said to the angel, if you read the story, he said, I'm an old man. He said, when Gabriel's saying you're going to have a child, he said, I'm an old man. And then here's what he said about his wife. You can tell he's polished. He said, and my wife is well advanced in years. Just a little thought, guys. Your wife never gets old. She just gets advanced in years. Everybody, all the guys say she's advanced in years. Yeah, just remember, it's the little things that'll help you a lot. That's my Christmas present to you. Yeah. When she comes in, you know, Pam was talking about getting sore from bowling. I thought, you know what? She's not getting old. She's just getting more advanced in years. See? So advanced in years. So pick up on what these older men teach us in the Bible. But you notice in verse 6, he brings down Abraham, Isaac, and that's all good, and you'd expect that. But then he goes down in verse 6 of Matthew 1. He says, and Jesse begot David the king of David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begot Rehoboam, and he goes on down. But I thought, what a place to stop. And he didn't have to say who it was, and he didn't have to remind us. But I think there's a purpose in him reminding us of where Solomon came from. Because we live in a day when 50% or more of the couples that we know will go through divorce. And sometimes, and used to, especially back in, several years ago, the church made divorced people feel like they were kind of second-class Christians. And how many know you're not? If you've been through a divorce, you're not. You're a first-class Christian because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life and all your sins has been forgiven just like everybody else. Now, and so some churches want to make people feel that way. You know, if you've been through a divorce, you can't pastor. You can't be an elder. And the Bible says the gifts and the call of God is without repentance. It's irrevocable. And so I don't believe at all that there's any sin that we can't all be completely and totally restored from. There's no second-class Christians. There's only first-class through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he stops, and I'm glad he did. He stops and he pauses. And he said to us, and I want you to think about this for just a minute. If we were on the board and we were helping again, remember we was on the board with last week or two, and if we were on the board and we were saying, you know, how should we write this in there? And should we stop and mention about where Solomon came from and about Bathsheba and about Uriah, name the husband that was murdered? Should we do that? And probably the consensus would be, let's just don't mention that. That's just kind of the way we are as Christians, you know. Let's just don't mention the bad that's happened. Let's just keep it all holy and let's keep it all on a positive note. And sometimes we just need to stop and think, you know, where God's brought us from and how bad it was and what all went on. And remember that it doesn't make any difference because through the blood of Jesus, I am made worthy. Because sometimes, how many, just be honest with you just don't feel very worthy. Let me see. Yeah. In fact, sometimes we feel like this. This is what my wife was talking about this morning. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I serve the Lord and I preach His Word and I study and I'm a good light, I'm a witness and all these sort of things. And then did you notice that it seems like your sinner friends or somebody that you just really don't care, it seems like their stuff never breaks. It's like they got a warranty or something we just didn't get when we became a Christian. You ever feel that way?
Yes.
She told me the other day, she said, I got some news on a house I'm trying to sell. This is wrong and that's wrong. You got to fix this and all this stuff. And while we were up handing out walking sticks, we handed out hundreds of walking sticks the other day at Tulsa and got to share the gospel with, I don't remember when I shared the gospel with so many people. Just hundreds of, probably me and Mark was shared with 100 each, I don't know, but it was a lot. And we just gave away bundles and bundles of sticks. They had these little beads on there, and you tell about heaven, and you tell about sin, and you tell about the blood, and you tell about how you're made whiter than snow through the blood, and then you don't stop there. The white bead is you grow in Christ, or the green bead, you grow in Christ. And we got to share that with hundreds of people. And while I was sharing the gospel, my realtor called, should have left my stinking phone off, and he calls and he says, oh yeah, and this is wrong with the house, and this is wrong with the house, and you got to do all this, and... Oh, well, that's cool. You know, I put my phone up. And then I got home and Janice says, you know, the heater in our house is only working on emergency heat. And then I woke up this morning, she said, now I think the washer's quit. I thought, just wash them by hand. Leave me alone. No. No, I did not think that, Todd. I did not think that. But you ever feel that way? Like everything in your house is breaking when you're really trying to press forward and do, you know? And how many of those, and here's what came to me. The just shall live by faith. Has nothing to do with feelings or washers or dryers. How many of those I'm still going to hell and I'm still good looking?
You're going to heaven.
I'm going to heaven. Okay, I'm still going to heaven. I'm still alive. Yeah. It doesn't change the things that's important. I still have a good relationship with my family and my wife and I still got a great church and still got to preach the word. And, you know, everything that's important to me is still the same as it was. It's just stuff. How many knows through life stuff breaks, stuff goes down, and it's never convenient. And that's why God said you need to prepare for that kind of stuff. That's why we need to all go to see Dave Ramsey and his Financial Peace University, because he'll teach us how to prepare. I love it, the part of his Dale, when he's walking off the job, he says, you go to the job and it's got the grumpy boss and they're just chewing on you for no reason, and you just get up from your desk and start walking off and say, where are you going? I say, I got no debt, I'm leaving. See, wouldn't that, and that's peace, isn't it? And it's the same way with grace. Grace says when everything is going wrong in our lives, grace says you can head on down the road for Jesus Christ because you've got plenty. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. When things break, we have faith and we have blessings from God. In fact, I'm giving today an offering to Life Outreach International on my yearly end giving, and it's not changing because stuff's breaking. Because I'm going to live by faith and my finances. This is what I wanted to give, and this is what I'm going to give. And so it's not going to change how I'm going to operate because I know whom I serve. See, the great price that came through Christ is this. He said, you know what? Yeah, everybody's going to have a blemish. But I can use people with a blemish. That means He can use me and He can use you. I can use people with a blemish. You may not always been the husband you wanted to be. You may not always been the wife you wanted to be, or the son or daughter you wanted to be, or the Christian you wanted to be. But you know what? Everybody has a blemish, but we all got grace through Jesus Christ. And the good news is, all this came about through people, through a young couple named Mary and Joseph. It came about through an older couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth that said, you'll have a son and he'll go and prepare the way for Jesus Christ, and then Jesus will come and then he will go to the cross for us. He did all of that and accomplished all of that through people. Ordinary, everyday people just like me and you. And He's got something that He wants to do that's great through me and you. Every one of us. And I appreciate Him in this genealogy stopping and saying, you know what? Remember who Solomon came through. It was through the one that they had committed adultery. Wouldn't that be a story in the church? This would be in our day, I kind of compared it to Bill Clinton getting reelected and having, you know, can you imagine Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky's son being our next president? How many would vote for him?
Sorry.
Yeah. But you know what? God said it doesn't matter. Because when people mess up and they seek forgiveness and they fall on their face and they did like David did and cry out from their sincere heart, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He will. He will. And so we don't have to worry about who will follow us and who will vote for us and who will support us. When Jesus Christ is in you and for you, the Bible says, who can be against us? That's good news, isn't it? All this good news came through Jesus Christ. It came through ordinary people that gave birth to Jesus Christ. One of the things that I just thought was hilarious when we're talking about and studying, and I went back and I got Max Lucado's book, and I'll just give you a sneak preview of kind of what we're going to talk about. But it's funny, as we look at a young couple, we think, you know, they were young and didn't know, and that's probably true. They didn't know a lot about what was going on. But Max Lucado brings out a point. He says, here's a teenage girl holding Christ, holding God. And at that moment, probably a teenage girl knew more about God's plan on earth than anybody on the planet. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? A teenage girl knew more about God's plan at that moment than anybody on planet earth. Because she was available. She was obedient. Listen, I cannot stress to you enough how important it is just to be available for the kingdom. Whatever it is He wants to do through you, just to be available. Because He'll always do more than we expected if we're obedient and we're doing what God has called us to do and we don't back up. Now, let me show you something else. He mentions David and he mentions Uriah, the man that David had murdered, and Bathsheba's the wife he's talking about here, that they had committed adultery. They tried to cover it with a lie. And for whatever reason, God says, I'm going to bring the lineage of Jesus through them. Most of us wouldn't have done that, would we? If we'd just be honest. Most of us, if we were in the deciding factor of where we're going to bring this through, is like, that is a scandalous kind of a thing, so we're going to choose a different route over here. It'll be through another wife, but not not Bathsheba. But God didn't do that. And I think he did that for a purpose, and I think it's mentioned for a purpose is because he wants you to know that sometimes the devil takes our past and things that are the dark areas of our past and tries to say to us, God cannot use you and do great things to you. And that's a lie from the pits of hell. Because when the grace has been applied and the blood's been applied, I want to tell you, you are free indeed. And here's another thing I want to talk to you about. And look on down in verse 11. It says, Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah gets him and begets this one. And so I want to show you something right here. And I'm glad he put that in there. Because here's our normal tendency is to do this. When things are going bad, our tendency, our natural, normal, carnal tendency is not to press in, is it? When things are rough at home, is that your natural tendency to press into the kingdom and to pray and to read your Bible? It's not our natural tendency to do all that stuff. But what I see here in the Bible is that, you know what? While they were being taken captive, be like another country coming over here and taking us captive and taking us and making us slaves in their country. While that was going on, God was still at work. He's still recording and saying, Jesus is coming through these individuals. There's a great point in here I want you to grab, and that's this. When we feel like everything is going wrong, when we feel like the enemy's winning, when we feel like maybe everything's breaking, when we feel like everything has gone backwards to what it should go, I want you to know God is still working in our lives. He's just as active in working in our lives. The key is don't stop doing what God has called you to do. That's the key. Don't quit doing what God has called you to do. Don't stay home on Sunday or Wednesday, or don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit praying. I always call it stay plugged in. You know what that means, don't you? Stay plugged in. You know, your radio only works if it's run dependent on electric, if you keep it plugged in. The TV only works if you keep it plugged in, if it's, you know, unless you get batteries. But it's got to have some kind of source. How many knows our source is Jesus Christ? Our source is God and the Holy Spirit. And our tendency is to unplug for a while when we're going through things. And we shouldn't allow that to happen in our lives. When things are going wrong, step forward and plug in. Get closer to the circuit, not farther away. Get closer. See, in other words, like I was saying a while ago, don't let financial times cloud or deter you from giving what God lays on your heart. Because I think sometimes He'll test us in our giving. In fact, the reason we're going to take up we always do the quarterly deals for Life Outreach International, but we had our missionaries come from Guatemala, and we gave them a gift the other day, and it's a nice gift for them. They were happy with the gift we gave them. And so Philip called me Monday, I believe it was, and said, are we going to do our last quarterly offering for Life Outreach International? And I said, well, we have just given to the church in Guatemala, the Church of Messiah, and so I don't know if we want to, open that up again. And he said, well, we didn't give to them. I said, I'm personally going to give my year-end offering to them. He said, well, there you go. That's confirmation. We're going to take an offering. That's okay. I said, that's okay with me. Because sometimes we think, well, we don't want to tax the people too heavy. And we don't. We don't want to tax you too heavy. But also, we want to be obedient in giving to where we feel like God wants us to give. And they feed thousands of children, and their dollars go so much farther than our dollars here. We just spend so many dollars on things that really don't count. You ever notice that? We do. We just spend so many dollars on things that just really don't. It's not going to have any impact in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, most of the impact shows where a lot of our money goes. I'll move right along. But I just just wanted you to see that, you know what, if your past is not something you'd be proud of, God can use you. If you're in bondage to certain things in your life that you really aren't proud of, that you want to get rid of, maybe it's a temperament that you just despise, because sometimes just when if things are going good, it just blows up and you don't know where it comes from, and you think, God, can you use me? Yes, He can. Even when you're in captivity to something you'd rather not be, God can use you. Even when you don't pray like you think you should pray, God can use you. Now, He quickens us, and He's been dealing with me. That's one of the things He's been dealing with me about my life. You know, you need to increase your prayer and fervency in prayer. And so I've been doing that. But thank God for that. See, because sometimes we take that and we allow it to push us away from God. Oh, I hadn't been praying like I should. And all that is a quickening from the Holy Spirit saying, come on, come closer. Come talk to me some more. It's not pushing away. It's Satan that takes the things that God wants to grow us in, and then He says to us, oh well, see how you are, and you don't even pray like you should, or you don't do this, and you lost your temper, and you lied, or you did this or that. You know, and He tries to push us away. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit always draws us into the kingdom. But we can't pay attention to that one last thing, and that's our natural tendency. When things are going tough and we're in captivity and things are going all wrong, draw closer in Jesus' name. Stop pulling back. Stop unplugging for a while. Now, everybody in ministry sometimes needs a little break. But you know what? Don't you can't take a break from the supper table too long. Because it'll begin to show on you and you begin to get weak. I've got two dogs, and one of them is supposed to be a yard dog, and that's what his calling in life is. He hadn't figured his calling out. Would you pray for Bear that he will get it? Because he thinks his calling in life is to tear up everything in his yard. And I've tried to give him the rod of instruction, but he's like, what, that's in my yard, you know, and then he runs off. And so I'm praying that he'll get his calling. And then I have another dog, and his calling in life is to sniff out birds. And it doesn't matter if a bird flies over, he's like, look at them birds, my gosh, I'd love to be able to get up there. And if you let him out in the yard, he's not looking around the yard, he's looking up for birds. And if there's a sparrow on the tree, he's over just looking at them, and he's figured out his calling. And some of us are like Bear. We don't have a clue. It's like, that's the way we are. And I'm telling you, God has put a call in you. And if He puts a call in the animal, surely He'll put one in you. And we need to figure out what our calling is so we can stay in that vein and we can continue on doing what God has called us to do. And not unplug when things are bad, or we've sinned, or we've failed God, or we feel like we're in captivity to something. It's not the time to unplug. It's the time to go forward and draw closer. Now, I want you. Here's what I want you to break. I think Bear has figured out he's stronger than the bird dog, because he outweighs him about 40 pounds probably. And so I noticed that Bear's getting fatter. My bird dog's getting skinnier. So I removed him from the pen this morning. You know, that's the way we Christians are sometimes. Somebody figures out what they're good at, what their calling is, and they just want to hog it all up. Somebody else comes in with the same gift, the same calling, and they're just like, no, this is my gift. This is my area. This is my calling. Well, you need any help? No. Well, can I just? No. And you just hog your gift up, your calling up. How many knows that's not healthy? It's not healthy for you, because now you have to do it all. If it gets done and you're the only one doing it, you have to do it all. And you can't learn anything. How many know sometimes young people come in and that do what we're called to do, and they teach us something? We can learn from them because God's given them a different gift and a different way to look at things. And so even when we're stressed out, when we're under bondage and all these things, and we know our call, then we need to just say, come on in. It's kind of like, remember when the disciples went out and they were praying and casting out demons, and they said, Lord, we found the guy that was doing the same thing. He's casting out demons and all, and we forbade him because he was with us. Remember what Jesus told them? Leave the guy alone. If he's doing the will of God, he's with us. I get tickled that we were up at Tulsa the other day, and this little guy, there's people from Missouri and from Kansas and somewhere else, wasn't it? I don't remember. It's from all the different parts of the country, the farmers come in to do this, and the headquarters of a Fellowship of Christian Farmers in Illinois. And so they build fence for people that's had wildfires. The hurricane in Louisiana, they go down there and they build fences that's been knocked over by the hurricane and the waters and stuff. And they make sure hay is distributed where people are in need. And it's a great organization. But these Christian guys, one of them is divorced, and he said, you know, he said, I wish I'd have known what I know now before I got divorced. And he said, but I'll give my life to this, to handing out these walking sticks and praying with people and leading people to Christ. I've dedicated my, he said, and I don't know how much land he owns. I didn't even ask him, but he said, but you know what I figured out? That land's just dirt. I thought he got it. It's a little late, but he got it. I'd rather get it late than not get it. How about you? Because some people just don't, they never get it. They never get it. They don't. They just don't get it. They don't get that God has put us here to serve instead of to receive. How many knows the Bible said it is better to give than to receive? I finally figured out why God said that. Because, you know, it really feels good, doesn't it, to get? It really does. But if you notice, the feeling just don't last very long. You get a new truck, man, you know, for all us guys, new truck, four-wheel drive truck. Well, once you drive it off the lot, it's not as expensive as it used to be. Because you own it now. And then once you drive it home, it's even less expensive because now it's got more miles. And then another year or two, it's even more less expensive than it was. And then in a few years, you can't give it away. Because you owe too much on it, and it's not worth what you got in it. Because it's stuff. And here's what I was thinking when we were talking about giving and doing and finding your vein and plugging in and getting closer when you were going through these kind of things that the Bible said they went through, and God was still working His will. Here's what I thought. And here it proved that it's better to give than receive. If receiving, it was better to receive than give, follow me here, all the rich people would be ecstatic. Wouldn't they? Because they just got a lot. And all the rich people, every rich person you've seen, how you doing? Whew, I am doing wonderful. How are you doing? And it depends on how much you had. You know, if you're a thousandaire instead of a millionaire, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Because you just received thousands instead of millions. And then if you only had hundreds, you'd say, how you doing? Well, I've been better, but you know, I'm hanging in there. And then if you wasn't even 100 there, you'd just be like, how you doing? Oh, man. But you can't gauge, can you? When you talk to people, you can't tell what they're worth financially, can you? Because it is not necessarily, you know, receiving. It can't give you and me what giving can give us. Here's what giving gets us. Giving gives us significance. When you give something away, your time, your talent, your treasure, that does something for you that you go home and just kind of lay awake at night thinking, wow, God used me today. I made a difference. They said I was a blessing. See, receiving can't give you that. But giving can. It gives you a feeling that you really and truly matter. And that's what these couples did. They gave of their time and they just yielded their lives to Christ. I think Zacharias was really concerned about Elizabeth and her ability to have a baby. When he looked and that was his first concern, I said, I'm old. You know, it's been a long time since Whoopi, you know. And I don't know if I still can. And then his second thought though was this, what about my wife? She's well advanced in years. I think he was thinking all of a sudden, this could be the death of Elizabeth, having a baby. Because, you know, ladies, once you reach a certain age, you're not supposed to have children anymore. There was a lady, what was it? Did you see that? The world record? She holds the world record. Wasn't she like 64? Was that it? On the national news a while back? And doctor said, man, that was risky. chances are Elizabeth was quite a bit older than that. And so that was his concern. But you know what? Because he doubted, and the Bible says where much is given, much is required, he begins to question the angel. Remember what Gabriel did to him? He said, then you just won't be able to speak for 9 months. And he took his vocal cords or shut them down or did something. I don't know how he did that. But for 9 months, now he's got another burden. He's got a wife that's advanced in years, and she is going to be carrying his baby, and he can't even share the whole 9 months because he said something wrong. He questioned God's plan. Now, you notice he didn't do that to Mary, did he? And women love to talk. I mean, I think it would have been bigger. But at least he could have done it for 6 months when she questioned him. But he didn't, did he? You know why? Because when you're a teenager, there's not as much required. When we were at the fair the other day and we were giving out these sticks and praying for kids and grown-ups, there's a family, a mom, and I think she had 4 kids came up and they all knew Christ and all, but they wanted a stick, and we gave them to everybody. And so we was giving these sticks away, and so I was going through the plan of salvation. I said, now the red bead, this is Jesus Christ. This is what your heart looked like before Christ. And all of those that received Jesus and repent from their sins, this is what they look like, their heart looks like, and there's the white bead, you know, that was made whiter than snow. And the mother says, and they have to do it every day, right? I said, well, yeah, if you sin, you have to make it right. I said, you know, but I said, you don't have to worry about that so much right now. I said, when the children of Israel left Egypt, I said, he didn't even hold them accountable, anybody under the age of 20. She said, well, I do. I don't think I help that mom much, you know. Talking about the grace of God and trying to help them out, you know. But sometimes we're so concerned about what's in our lives and what we're doing and how it separates us and all. But stay plugged in. The gifts and call of God is without repentance. It's irrevocable. So don't stop doing what you're doing. God will still bless it. Just get it back in. Get that other thing back in order and line with Christ. How many knows He's our source? He's your source. And He's our gift that keeps on giving. I heard a really funny deal. I'm talking about givers and sources, about Andrew Carnegie. Remember him, the big steel mogul that was at one time was the richest man in the world. And they said every year he would underwrite the New York City Philharmonic, and so they came in and again at the beginning of the year and said, you know, we're here for our check, and we just appreciate you so much. And he said, you know, he said, every year you all come to me first. And he said, this year I thought, if you didn't mind, I'd like for you to go try to raise, if you could, half of it, and then you know, let somebody else enjoy the giving, and then come back and see me. And they said, okay, we'll do that. And so they went out, and the next day they came back and they said, okay, we're ready. We've got it fulfilled. And he said, wow, I'm impressed. And he's sitting there writing out the check, and he said, it's none of my business, really, and you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but I'm just kind of interested in maybe who gave you the first half. And they said, well, Miss Carnegie gave us the first half. She got a checkbook too. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? There's a Father, there's a Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they all got checkbooks. And we're all different in the kingdom. And what I was going to say with this at the fair the other day, and one of the little guys, his name is Marlon, he asked me, he said, where you go to church? And I said, well, he said, you pastor? And I said, yeah, pastor. He said, what kind of church, pastor? I said, well, it's an interdenominational church. He says, a Pentecost church? I said, no, it's an interdenominational church. He said, well, we kind of have an interdenominational, but ours is Pentecostal. I thought, well, you got a Pentecostal church then. Interdenominational means everybody's welcome. We welcome Pentecostals and Baptists and Methodists and Nazarenes, Catholics, and whatever you are. Ours is interdenominational. He said, well, I know, but you know what I mean. And what he means is, and what I found out, I had another friend call me yesterday that had started a church down in Purcell, and he said, "Oh, Pastor Depp, man, we are having church. People just slain everywhere. All over the floors." He said, and everybody says, "Well, how many have?" "Well, we only got about 20 or 25, but man, it's good." And that's his picture of church. That's his picture of Jesus, of who it is. But the older I get, that my picture of Jesus and a good, healthy church is somebody that knows their purpose, that is willing to stay plugged in, and they're the same yesterday, today, and forever, because that's the way Jesus is, that you can approach, that is always showing light and being salt to a lost and dying world, and that knows that giving is better than receiving, and that know that Jesus Christ loves them unconditionally, and when they fall, they can get up and dust themselves off, but they're going to head toward the cross, they're going to head towards righteousness, and they're just going to love everybody and embrace everybody and say, "Come on in, there's room for you, and there's grace here, and there's peace and mercy and happiness and health. Come on in, we love you, we are whatever you are. Come on in." Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That to me is a healthy church. You want to talk in tongues? Talk in tongues. Just don't interrupt my preaching unless it's God. And he'll tell me if it is. If you want to sit and quietly absorb, sit and quietly absorb. Doesn't mean you're righteous or unrighteous or any more or less than anybody else. That's who you are. It's who you are. But I want us to grasp this, and I'll close. Whatever God has called you to be it. Because he wants to birth things through you. He wants people to see Jesus through you. And don't pout and whine when you God says no for a season. I thought Zach and Elizabeth, I believe they were heartbroken. As he said, "I have," in fact the angel told him, he said, "I have heard your prayer. And you're going to have a son." And I thought, well yeah, he prayed 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Who cares about a prayer that long ago? And then if you've really heard my prayer, don't make her have one. Just give us one. You know, we're old. And my point is this. Sometimes God hears your prayer, but he says no for a season. And if, and here's what happens. And I think when they were out at visiting their other couples that were young, and you go up and they got some cute twin boys like the Dodsons, and they don't have any kids. Then they got three. I think that hurt. I think that hurt their feelings, and I think they had thoughts, and they had to battle with mental and emotional issues about, well, how come we don't have children? And I think Miss Elizabeth probably said, "You know, I know Zach's life. He's a good man." I've heard my wife, in my defense, say that before when people be kind of getting on me about something. "I live with him. He's a good man. I know. He prays. You know, I'm like, it's okay, honey. You know, our feathers ruffle. So don't talk about me around her, okay? Come talk to me about me, and I'll try to straighten up." But I think she had the same thing. I think she sat there and you know, and people say, "Well, you know, Zach and Elizabeth, I'm not sure why they don't have children. What if there's something hidden sin in their life?" Yeah, there is. Christians.
Yes.
They say they are. Jesus is like, "Well, if you are, I wish Jesus would kill you and take you on to heaven, because you're sure getting on my nerves, you know, or something." But I'm just teasing. But there are Christians like that. Well, you're going through your most trying times. They're just like trying to figure out what's wrong with you. Instead of saying, "Well, let's just pray," and you know, encouraging people. But I think it was heartbreaking for years for them to go over to their friend's house and they see their little healthy children running all around and they don't have a child. Because he was praying for a child. He wanted children. They wanted children, but they didn't have children. But the key is, he was in the temple at the appointed time and he was burning incense and doing what priests do. And that's all God's saying. That's what we should do. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to be in the kingdom? I know one thing he's called you to be is faithful. Because if you're not faithful, you won't receive hardly anything. So the first thing is, do you know what? Be faithful in this. Be faithful to read it and abide in it and to talk to God and to support your church and support your community projects and people that have real needs. Be supportive. Do what you can. Be faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I'll make you ruler over many. That's the word. That's the word. The last statement is this. An answering machine. I thought we ought to do this sometime, but here's an answering machine. Somebody calls and says, you have reached the number of... And says, you may think that this is an answering machine. It is not. This is a questioning machine. There are two questions. Who are you and what do you want? Who are you and what do you want? And at least you think those are trivial questions, consider that most people go through their entire lives without ever answering either one.
Beep.
Who are you and what do you want? Who are you and what do you want? It's Christmas time. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. How many knows that Jesus came into this life so we could have life and have it more abundantly? He gave His life and became flesh so you and I could live in abundance. And shame on us if we live in anything less than abundance in our life. Because Jesus has made provisions for abundant life. Let's go have abundant life through Jesus Christ. Let's receive the gift that He's given. Jesus said, I've come that you might have peace. And He left His peace with us. Let's enjoy peace. Even when everything's breaking down. Let's just say, I think I'll just enjoy peace. Huh? When everything's going wrong, let's just enjoy what's going right. We're still on our way to heaven. We're still secure in Jesus Christ. We're still enjoying His gift that He's brought to us and given to us on this life. Let's enjoy Jesus and let's share Him with others this Christmas and put the real Christmas spirit back where it belongs. Heavenly Father, thank You for using Elizabeth and Zach and for showing us that in our life, if we messed up like David did with adultery and murder, You can still use us. Good things can still come through us. And we may not be any of us in this auditorium today that have physically killed, but most of us have verbally and mentally killed before. Through words of hurt, through tempers flying everywhere, through selfish attitudes. And most of us in this room have done a lot of damage over our lives in our lifetime. But here's what we know today, Lord. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We thank You, Lord, that as we get up and we truly repent from our sins and we turn to You, that everything was placed under the blood of Jesus Christ, through the gift that You gave us through Jesus, that we're made whiter than snow, and we can still be light and salt to a lost and dying world. And we thank You, Lord, that there are times when our life we'll feel like we're in such bondage. But just like You have shown us, God, in the lineage that came through David, that came down to Christ, You're still at work. Even when we're in Babylon, even when we're in captivity, just like You were with Joseph when he was sold as a slave and he was at Potiphar's house and it got worse from there and he went to prison, You were alive and at work, just like You were in Job's life when he went through all the things he endured. You were still there and You were still alive. Today, remind us, for those that have been suffering sickness and fighting battles, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial, whatever they've been battling today, that You are alive and aware and working in our lives. Wherever we are, and our response is just to simply be obedient to Your call. Help us today to answer who we are in Christ and what we want is the will of Jesus Christ to be done in and through our lives. That's who we are. We're blood-bought Christians that want to walk in the obedience of Jesus Christ as Zach and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph did when you gave to the world through them. Give to our world through us, Lord. Make us vessels of honor for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.